Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the All Dick is Trash podcast, the podcast about sex, dating, relationships, and the patriarchy and everything in between. I'm your host, Millie Tamarin. And we are joined by producer, editor, copywriter, Chicana, Salvi, expert,
God,
Candy, Haro.
You're always way too kind with your intros because I'm not any of that.
You're not Chicana?
I'm not Chicanix.
You're not a Chicanix.
I can't fucking, I wear my Selena sweater a lot and you ruined it for me because I just feel like a huge beater.
Oh no, I have
repping
a Selena shirt. But I'm not Chica next though. Is that appropriation?
It is. Let me be a very, very typical white Latina and attack black people real quick. Let me
just. Yeah, no. Oh my God. I just saw today on Twitter this Chicana girl, like this Chicana teen from Arizona, kept saying the N-word on Instagram Live, and then this black girl that was on her Instagram was like, you need to stop saying that. And she's like, you big mad? You big mad right now, huh? Yo, Black Twitter doxed the fuck out of that girl.
Good.
Like, harassed her, all this shit, and I'm just like, damn.
All you had to say was like, oh shit, my bad.
People have time now. Like, you can't be doing that. I don't know. Also, you can't be saying the N-word. I'm a little bit more, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just my bias. Mm. I'm a little bit, I think it's still like not okay, but I'm a little bit more forgiving to like Latino people on the East Coast, at least ones that like might be, I don't know.
You know what? Obviously, I don't have a fucking dog in this fight, but I get your sensibility only because New York is such a melting pot where people actually have black friends. Because having people say it in East LA, where like the closest black person's like 20 minutes away and they know no one and they want to say the N-word, it's like you're being no, like you're just it's
exactly
such an extreme like appropriation of anything, like racism, all of it. You're just being completely
garbage.
That's
like. It's kind of like the same with Asian people. Like, it's obviously not okay, mm-hmm. but an Asian person that grew up in New York might actually have for real hung out with black people. Where Asian people in LA, that's the whole thing that I'm talking about with Insecure. One of the characters has an Asian boyfriend, and I'm like, okay, well, if he's an Asian guy from LA, there has to be an episode where he says the N-word.
Yeah.
And I've like wanted to tweet that, but I do not want to get attacked by Cali Asians. I'm really interested to see what they do. Because I'm like, there might be at least a microaggression with, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just ignorant.
Maybe you're just traumatized because you dated so many Asian men that like say the N-word around
you.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, no, the one guy's like, oh my God, my mom is so racist. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? He's like, my mom. And then he was just recounting times when his mom was racist in front of him. And then I'm just like, okay. And then, you know, he wouldn't tell his mom or his parents where he would go. He would just like sleep over at my house for days. So then his mom would call him, understandably, at like 3 in the morning in the like on a Tuesday or something when he's over in my house. And then she's like, where are you? Are you okay? Are you safe? And then like later he'd be like, yeah, my parents are like asking me questions. And then I was just like, it's just my boyfriend. Leave me alone. And that made me like, I'm just like, so your parents rather you be gay than with a black person, you know, I don't know. Yeah, and then he was like, no, that's not what I meant. But I'm just like, yeah, but like, by you not having these clear boundaries, like it's fueling.
It's very, very offensive. Yeah, no, that's.
Yeah, by that's fueling horrible. My insecurity when you can just be, but not everyone has that relationship with their parents.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if you're like a grown man and you can't even be like, hey, I'm sleeping over someone's house. I'm seeing someone, but blah, blah, blah. Then, like, I don't know. But anyway.
Well, you're not seeing him anymore, obviously.
No, I don't, actually. I do not. So, speaking of, so we want to do what? We want to do the confession first, or we want to do trash dick of the week? Let's do trash dick of the week, right?
Yeah, yeah. Cause
that's how this show goes.
Either way, that was an amazing segue into more garbage. So.
Yeah, I'm like... So let's stop talking about garbage. Let's take a break from garbage and talk about more garbage.
Yeah.
You know, it's the coronavirus. It's that Candy is holding her pet chihuahua like a baby. Listen, okay? I don't believe in stereotypes. I think stereotypes are wrong. But sometimes when you see a friend be a stereotype, like, I'm not saying... that all Chicano women have dogs named Chewy that they hold like babies. But some do. And that some is Candy Haro on this call right now.
I can't, all right, I can't run away from it. This is my boyfriend's dog that he's had his whole life that now mm-hmm. I, like, hold in a swaddle blanket and, like, yell it in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? It's just, like, it's like the Oedipus story where, like, the dad exiles him.
And he still like fucks
run
his
away
mom.
From the destiny to not fuck his mom, and it just turns around 180 or full circle 360, and it ends up happening. So you came to New York to not be a Mexican stereotype, but listen, you can take the girl out of East Los, but you can't take the East Los out of the girl.
That bitch will still find a chihuahua.
You got a chihuahua. You're wearing your Selena shirts.
Great. So who else is garbage, really?
Not me. Oh, God. I don't even know if I have to do all day because I'm just sick of the week with Candy. No, you know what? Listen, okay. A few years ago, like 3 years ago, I was at La Marina twerking and smoking a hookah and drinking a piña colada. Oof. And I'm like, you can't run away from who you really are. You know what I mean? That was the point of Moana, I think. You can't run away. Sometimes, you know, this is where I was supposed to be, is in Dyckman in Washington Heights, the Dominican part of New York City, twerking and smoking hookah.
R.I.P. Marina.
R.I.P., dog. That's fucked up. Anyway, let's not get too depressing and talk about some trash.
I know, If anyone needs a hookah and a $7 sangria, it's me.
$7 is generous. Their drinks were expensive. That's the thing with these Dominican clubs. They're expensive.
I only went during happy hour, though. I always hit La Marina at happy hour, and I get super crossfaded in the park.
Like, that's probably the best place to do it. Yeah, because it's so fucking far.
Yeah.
In Carajo Land. Anyway, but all these Dominican clubs, they be like $14 drinks, and I'm like, well, that's this is a Jack and Coke.
You get you and all your fucking cousins and all your brothers, you share one bottle, you take 20 pics, y'all fuck the same bitch, and then it's like, oh, what's up, Saturdays.
Okay, Candy, you are holding your chihuahua, so like, let's just chill on the judgment. You totally 100% accurately described my New Year's this year in Harlem, but also you are holding a chihuahua, so please fall back.
That's right.
Anyway, move on. Back to this trash dick. So we're in coronavirus. We're in the quarantine, and you know, I'm on Tinder as any other American person is. And right now, Tinder has like no limits. Like you can swipe anywhere around the world. So a few weeks ago, also, too, I was famously in London and France before.
Not famously,
London
girl.
And Paris.
Not famously, girl.
Anyway, this guy, you know, I have Tinder Plus. Holler at your girl. And you can see everybody who swipes with you. So there is this really, really hot guy from France that swiped with me from Paris. So I was like, maybe we swiped when I was in Paris and I didn't know because just let's be real here. There were so many guys swiping and I was too busy doing what? Getting lost everywhere. So I was like, oh, maybe this guy swiped me. So then immediately after we swipe, he's like, or we match, he's like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, good. He's like, would you be interested in being a virtual dominatrix? And I was like, what? And then he's like, you just tell me what to do and I would have to do them. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Love that. Yeah. But it basically ended up being a situation where he sent me like these crazy nudes and he kept asking questions. Like, and he was just like, he sent me a picture of his dick and it was small, but he like, I don't know. I'm just like, if it was small dick, you have a small dick. Like, you know, but like, he was like, isn't it small? Isn't that gross? Like, would you ever fuck me? No, right? Like, it's gross, right? And they're just like, oh, you obviously get turned on by sending pictures of your dick to girls. Because I'm just like,
he has a shame kink. Yeah.
Huh?
He has a shame kink.
He has a shame kink. But at a certain point, like, he was just setting himself up, like, to be shamed. You know, because like he's like, isn't it super small? And I'm like, oh, it's okay. I mean, I've seen smaller, but you know, like, yeah. That's not what he. I'm like, it's fine. I mean, you know, I'm not nothing to write home about, but nothing to call the cops on. And then, but he didn't want to hear that, you know. So it was just it was trash. Not because shame kinks are trash, but it was just like more like he didn't really care. Like he was teeing himself up. And he was setting himself up. And then when I actually did ask him for a specific thing, he'd be like, I can't do that. Here's this excuse. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Or this and that. So then it's like, okay, so then this isn't a dumb relationship. You just want to do whatever you want and then have an audience. So after a while, you know, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, I was just seeing how far, you know, I'm just going along with it at this point. And I'm like, uh-huh, yeah. He's like, do you want me to send you this kind of pic? And I'm like, sure. And he sent it to me. He's like, what about this kind of, and like very specific. And he already had it. So I'm just like, oh, you don't even need me here. You just want to do this. Like, you just want to get off on yourself. You know what I mean?
That's why there's Reddit. Well, no, you don't need me.
Yeah, you don't need me. Then why are you matching with girls from across the world if you don't even need them? You're just going to do it yourself. That's like the thing that confused me. I'm like, you don't even need me here. And I mean, I guess that's like symbolic of like a lot of sex people have. My friend Rashid, which we should get him on the podcast one day. He was like, I was talking to this guy and, you know, the guy that he was dating or not even dating. They were like fucking, but like, you know, just did the typical fuckboy shit of like, you know, not saying they don't want a relationship, but then when they want like something that requires a relationship, they like get pissy that you're not acting, you know?
Yeah.
And then Rashid's like, you don't fuck like a boyfriend. Ooh. You don't suck dick like a boyfriend. And then I was like, well, what does that mean? And he's like, you know, when somebody fucks like a boyfriend, they want to make sure you get off and you're having fun too. Mm-hmm. And that's so much sex is like that. And so much. And that's exactly like what this experience was with this guy. It wasn't even like making, you know, first of all, like, I know I give off a very strong dom vibe, mm-hmm. but that's not really like.
It's the eyeliner, dude. It's the eyeliner.
It's the eyeliner. It's like the strong sense. It's the strong personality, whatever. But, you know, so I attract a lot of these guys who are like, I want to be your sub. But then like, which I'm not even like really turned on by that much. But then it's like, it's also too like this idea of, but you don't really want to sub. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not even waiting. So anyway, trash dick of the week.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Andy?
I'm bummed that he didn't ever offer you money.
That's also like the idea of all this like crazy sex too. It's like, or the sex where you're not, I was like, if I'm not even going to come and you're not even going to like pay attention to me and you probably won't even call me after, then I should be getting paid for this.
I know. I should be getting paid or I should be 20.
Like, yeah, exactly. 20, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, now it's time for the Trash Dick Confessional. So we've opened our hotline, and we've opened our DMs, and we've opened our emails, and we're getting some really, really fun confessions. So I have a really fun one that is quite the journey. So let's go. And I will, as always, unless you explicitly say it's okay, I'm going to keep it anonymous. Okay, so maybe like 3 months into stand-up, an older comic started DMing me, and things got kind of flirty and escalated because I was tipsy and he was tipsy. Besides him being a comedian, the red flag was when he said, "Don't fall for me, kiddo," completely butchering a line from Casablanca and assuming he was hot shit. I quickly shut him down for that, and the next day he came back to the DM to resume flirting, at which I asked whether or not we were going to hang out after the diner after a friend's show. He said yes. So just for context, the city where this person lives, I think they do a show, and then the move is to go to a diner after. So that's like where this person lives. We go to the diner after a friend's show, and because he has a dumb man brain, another friend decides to tag along. Since he mentioned that said guy said we were going to the diner after the show. Out of confusion, I didn't flirt because I didn't want anyone to know we were talking until I knew what was going on, and kept it pretty casual and paid more attention to the friend who tagged along. The guy shuffles his feet under the table a few times and accidentally knocks against me. Figure the only way I can gauge whether or not he's interested is to let my foot stay in place rather than moving it. Lo and behold, we are playing footsies like we are 14 at a diner. After what feels like forever and a foot cramp, we all decide to leave. The 31-year-old comedian asks me if I'm parked on the opposite of the lot. I say yes because there's another fucking human present, so I can't fucking follow him to his car or vice versa. I get in my car, swallow my pride, and then text him asking him if he wants to come to my place for a bit. He flirts and tells me he doesn't want to keep me late, which at this point it is midnight. And I assure him I just want to hang out and talk alone. He plays weirdly hard to get and says I can be open with him. Like, what kind of games? So I'm like, fine, dude, whatever. I'm into you, and we've been flirting for weeks. Just wanted to see what the fuck was up. And then he takes a complete 180 and drops, Hey, listen, I think you're super sweet and pretty, but I'm not emotionally mature enough for a relationship or anything serious. I don't think I can reciprocate anything major right now, and I thought maybe this was just a hookup. I'm bummed and confused, mostly because I would have been down for a little fooling around, but obviously this man thinks highly of himself, so I'm like, cool, thanks, let's move on then, no hard feelings. For the next 3 weeks, he acts distant and dickish to me in person and puts me in the end of a lineup for 30 person open mics in like blank, so it's not a major comedy city, it's not New York, Chicago, or LA, it's like a small city. So she says he puts me at the end of a lineup a few times for 30 persons open mics in small city in the small city on a Monday night, after which like means that she's probably getting out of these shows at like 11 or 12 ridiculous. And like probably going in at 7. After a month, he announces he's moving to LA, and a few weeks later we have one last diner hangout with the regulars, which I've been adopted into. I go to be nice and supportive, and we all leave in our separate cars. About a mile away from the diner, he pulls up at a stoplight and waves. I'm like, okay, cool, goodbye forever. Except he starts yelling outside of his window at me, motioning to roll my window down. It is 1 freaking a.m. The man proceeds to have a heart-to-heart with me at a stoplight, to ask me whether or not I'm okay after the thing that went down between us, because he feels bad about rejecting me, because he likes to hang out with me and finds me attractive but didn't want to hurt me. 1 month after an invitation to smooch, I have to put my car in park and explain to him that I have not thought about it since he turned me down, and clearly it wouldn't have worked out because he was right about what he said, and that I'm totally cool and don't need reassurance. Anyway, that's the only part of the story that's worth telling. Surprise, surprise, he didn't make it out and back. He didn't make it in LA and came back way before Corona started. And unfortunately, I must put up with his presence on the comedy scene here. He is a little literal toxin to our community. Cannot believe I almost risked it for trash dick. So I told you, that one was a long one.
Garbage, garbage, garbage. Oh my God, what a fucking creep. One, you can't sexualize a woman and treat her like a child. Like, no. That's that's fucking disgusting. How dare you? And only because I'm clearly triggered because I've just had this experience with guys too. It's like, oh no, I'm just a normal person with feelings and on an equal level like you. Like, please don't demean me. Please don't think I'm less than you. Don't pull me over because you're breaking my heart. Like, bitch, I need a nut. That's it. What's good?
Yeah. It's always those guys too. Like, I think I told, like it's always the guys who go out of their way to hit on you. Then you reciprocate the feelings back, and then they like curve you hard, and then they want to come back and be like, "Hey, are you okay?" And it's just like, dude, leave me alone. Like, why are you bothering me? Why'd you even bother me in the first place? It's an ego thing. And like the crazy thing is, like, I've had a lot of guys do that to me, but I've had this one guy especially who did that to me. Mm-hmm. And he's the first person to like every fucking thing I post. He likes everything I post. He likes everything I tweet immediately. And like, I muted him immediately because, you know, whatever, like, I don't hate him and I don't want him to never work again or anything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to engage with you. Like, you know what I mean?
Ooh, girl, I love a mute. I love a mute. A mute, you can still see me, bitch, but I can't see you. I love a good
Yeah, I love a mute. Fuck off. Muting is better than blocking to me. Because blocking is like, you know, everyone has different moral standards for blocking, but I feel like a mute is like, look, I don't even want, like, you're not even important enough for me to, because if you block me, like, or if I block you, like, you know that it got to me.
Yeah.
It got to me so bad that, like, I can't even, like, I don't even want you to see me anymore. We're like a mute. Like, I'll straight up forget people existed when I mute them. You know what I mean? I'm just like, damn, and then I mute this guy. This guy fucking pops up all the time. But anyway, yeah, this guy's trash 100%. And it's like it's a certain kind of guy who just, like, you know, again, we talk about this all the time on All Dick is Trash, about how women get such a bad rep for leading people on and for friend-zoning people and for all this mean, cruel stuff. But I feel like men do it all the time, if not worse. Men love getting their egos stroked and flirting with people. Like, I see straight men do it all the time with gay men. You know that a gay guy likes them, especially in college.
Straight girls all the too, time. Bitch. It's even worse with straight girls and like lesbians or queer women. Like every like queer girl falls in love with a straight girl and like fucks up their life.
That's true too. That's
Sorry,
true too.
I know but we're talking shit about men, but any, but like even.
No, it's true.
I saw this tweet that was like, guys get mad when they get friend zoned, but they'll literally fuck you and still friend zone you.
Exactly. Yeah. The same thing. Yeah. Girls get friend zoned all the time. They'll still fuck us. Like,
yeah.
That's 100% like that. And it's a different dynamic because, like, we don't want to be friends. We don't want to be friends. Like, but guys' idea of what friends are so foreign to me, you know? Because, like, this guy was just like hitting me up. I think I would tell you, this guy was hitting me up and was like, hey, like, let's like meet up and smoke weed. And I'm like, dude, this is a fucking pandemic. Like, I'm not trying to get coronavirus from you.
No.
And I'm just like, so what's going to happen after we fuck? Like, what do you want from this? And he's like, I thought we could just, you know, just as friends, like, just like fuck. Like, Do you know what friends are? Like, it's not even that, like, I wouldn't fuck a friend or anything, but it's just, like, you have to ask me about my day or, like, be concerned about me.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, have some kind of emotional connection or consider, you know, that's what friends are. But friends are just people. No, friends is not a word that you give to somebody who you want to fuck but have no interest. I don't know.
Yeah.
There is another word. I mean, fuck buddy. Yeah, but even buddy implies that you're a friend. But anyway, this guy, like, her liking him and him curving her is, like, the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah, you did. But at the end, she did say that there's a little part of her that still wants to hate fuck him. And I'm just like, girl, girl, she's get
young.
Out of your city.
She's young.
Get out of your city.
The girl's young. I'll say that. And you can tell by the how many times she wrote, he's 31 years old. Like, also as true. If that's old. And it's not even that, like, it's that old. But
you expect us to be better,
like,
and we're almost there, and it's I'm not better.
No, I'm telling you, like, even, like, last year, a year and a half ago, I was hanging out with a guy who was 37, and I remember being so disappointed because I'm like, okay, I thought that you were going to have your, like, people were going to have their shit together at 30. I'm at 30 now, and I don't have my shit together at all, and it's really fucking hard, but I'm like, oh, but before I'm 40, for sure, before I'm 40, these guys are going to be cool. And hang out with this guy. And, like, I had to end up buying him jewel pods.
What?
Mango flavored. He picked out the flavor. And I'm just like, I got to tell that story later.
Yeah,
but
please.
I'm just like, damn, they don't even have their shit together at 37. Like, when do they ever get their shit together? And it's like never. But yeah, the girl's young because she did write that she's going to hate fuck him. I took that out for her because I was like, she gonna learn, but maybe she's gonna learn through this podcast.
Mean, I get it. I like it's like Soka vision. I remember thinking I was so fucking ugly and like terrible at Soka. Like no one wanted to date me and na na na. And then yeah. I would just go to LA and I was like, oh no, I'm pretty hot. All right, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. But it's also like it's like not even that like she thinks she's not cute. It's also just like when you get older, like. You're like, oh, I don't have to deal with this. Like, there's nothing that says that I have to put up with the way you're treating me. You know what I mean? Okay. And, like, that just gets with age. You have to learn, like, through your, and then if you don't look back, I saw this online, too. It's like, if you don't look back at your old self and cringe, that means you haven't grown, you know?
That's really good. I like that. I was looking at my green hair and my bob and my eyebrows.
I loved green hair candy. That was so cute. That was so cute. Yeah. And you worked at a burger shop for like years too.
Yeah. Candy's I drank a lot of white wine spritzers. And then, I don't know. I'm going to check. I'll say more fun stories about that place. But I got to see what the statute of limitations is for a lot of shit I did. Great. So,
we are joined by, I'm super excited for my next interview. She's amazing. She's super accomplished. And you can literally hear my heartbreak when I find out she's only 25 years old.
She's such a hard worker. She's gonna give you. Has her shit together. See, maybe there is hope in the youth. Maybe we just didn't have
No, there's hope, but, you know, they're going to learn. Well, one of her stories was, you know,
true.
She's still going to learn. But, but yeah, I'm really excited to have Andrea Lopez.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Now this is the part where I go over your bio.
Oh, okay.
And you're gonna tell me, you know, you're gonna tell me like what's real, what's not real, like how accurate this is. But this is all stuff we found on the internet. Lovely producer, Candy Haro. Ready?
Okay. Let's go. Yeah.
So your background, you're from DC.
Yep, from DC.
Yeah, you attended Newhouse. Parentheses, School of Public Communications at Syracuse.
Correct.
You're a former slash current radio personality.
Yes. Yeah. I guess I would say probably more former radio and now podcasting. So I don't actually work at a radio station right now, although, you know, the paycheck will be nice, but, but yeah,
good to know. Sure. Celebrity impressionist, co-host of Hey Frase, is that what I'm saying it? Hey Frase.
Everyone says Hey Frase, but it's her last name Frase.
So Frase. Hey Frase. Yeah, but Hey Frase. Okay. All right, we see it. Got to get a little bit more ethnic. You're a BuzzFeed commentator. Did you see this and that really happened? Which, all you know, that's a lie. I'm kidding. No, that's how I met you. So
yes, that's how I met you.
Wishbone Media Channel contributor.
How did you guys find that? That just happened. Okay. Wow. Okay.
And you're killing it on TikTok.
That was, wow, you guys are covering it. Yes.
You attended the storming of Area 51.
I did. Yeah. You guys are really on your information. Yes.
And you're the creator of the quarantine mullet.
Okay, let me just say, I'm about to hire this producer for my own stuff.
You can't afford her. I'm kidding.
She's good. Yeah, that is also true. I don't have it on right now, but yeah, the quarantine mullet is very important when you're doing Zoom calls.
What is the quarantine mullet?
So the quarantine mullet is when you're only showing the front half of you. Mm. So if you have to do your hair or you have to look somewhat professional, all you have to do is curl like 1/4 of your hair here, 1/4 of your hair in the front, and then the back is just a straight up bun.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen the back.
So yes.
Business in the front. No, party in the front. I think business in the back, because you know, your business in the back, you just got a bun, you know?
Party in the front, hot mess in the back. That's so funny because it wasn't obviously quarantine, but I grew up in Miami, and like, you know, my homegirl, we were like all chilling at my friend's house. I think we were like 19 or 20. It was like the first time my friends had like their own apartment, and it was lit, and we're all there. And then my homegirl was talking to this guy, and he's like, "Oh, where are you guys at? That's actually right by my house. I'm gonna pop by." And she was like, "Fuck, my hair looks like shit, blah, blah, blah." And then I'm like, so I see her. She has like really kinky hair. And I see her straightening. And I'm like, there's no way you're going to fucking straighten it. In fact, she's like, "No, girl, I'm going to put on a hat." She straightens the two front pieces, puts on a hat, and then keeps it moving, goes to his car, and is sitting with him and chilling with him. And then she says they start making out, and he starts, like, trying to play with her hair. And she's like, "Don't do it! Don't fucking touch my hair!"
It's not meant for makeout proof, but it's no. Really bespoke. It's focused on, like, don't touch.
Yeah.
Leave it as is. But, that's... She has it down, too.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. Well, Andrea, I'm glad to know that we're killing it. And by we, I mean Candy is killing it with the producing, with the research.
Yes,
I do tell Candy, I'm like, look, this guy says that I don't know what this guy's deal. I don't know if he has a girlfriend or not. And she's like, "I got you." And then an hour later, she's like, "Christmas 2014, this bitch was with." They still follow each other.
She's got that FBI SWAT team skills. She's banging out codes. Yeah.
Yo, I literally, my other friend Kat's like that, where I told her, like, "Yo, I met this guy at a club. I don't know, like, blah, blah." She's like, "What's his name?" And I'm like, "I think his last name starts with..." She's like, "Oh, where did he say he worked?" Then, like, 20 minutes later, bam, LinkedIn profile. Like, but screen capped so I can, like, look at it incognito, not, like, link click.
No one can see it. Exactly. Oh, she's good.
She's good. She knows. She'll be known. Shout out to Kat and Candy. What was I going to say? So, Andrea, you're on the All Dick is Trash podcast.
Woo! Woo! I am so excited. And I was trying to go back in my archives thinking about all of my trash stories. We both talked that we were both late bloomers.
Like, yes.
You know, my experience with Dick really kind of got started, I think, in my 20s, right?
Yeah, me too. Seven years ago. I remember because it was St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Yes.
It was when I lost my virginity.
Give it up for St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, bust it wide open for St. Patty. on 2013, so I just remember it was like the 7-year anniversary of that. And thank God that guy's dead. I'm kidding. No, I don't know.
Thank God we got no stories of that.
Yeah. I did kill that guy. No, that's a whole other story. That could be its own podcast. I have a podcast just asking people about their virginities. And no one's going to listen to that. But people might. But listen, so we're on the All Dick is Trash podcast. So the first question I got for you is, what are your thoughts? Do you think all dick is trash? You don't have to say yes, but I might disconnect the call if you say no. I'm kidding. No,
okay. The podcast is no longer relevant. Thank you. I think a lot of dick is trash.
Yes.
A lot is irrelevant. But I have met some really well-raised male gentlemen.
They're gay.
They never showed interest in me.
Yeah, I'm like, they're gay.
I looked at them from afar, and I was like, damn, you were raised right. But I would say, like, 75% of dick is trash, but dick can also be trained.
Yes.
Dick can be trained to be not trash. You know, it can be recyclable. So, you know, you can put it in the recyclable container. And
yes.
It's not as bad. But yeah, I would have to say that that's why I'm excited about this podcast. Because
well, I was just telling, so there's two things, right? I feel like a lot of guys, like, I was talking to Elise Morales. I don't know if you know her. Y'all would love it. Y'all are both really funny. But I was talking to her. And, you know, her fiance is actually, like, close to 40. And she's like, close to 30, or she's 30 now.
Okay.
And she was like, you know, my fiance is not trash, but he was trash. Like, if I had I met him 5 years earlier or something, you know? So I think a lot of guys just need time to cook and, like, figure it out. So I'll give that. And then also with the recyclables, it's just, like, I was just talking to Tiara, in a few episodes or last episode. And basically in Japan, the way that they divide recyclables is like, you have to be updated by like your area's rules and regulations. And like in Tokyo, you know, maybe they might recycle hard plastic and soft plastic in the same bin and all that stuff. So it's like all these rules, but it's all trash, but it's like five different receptacles and compost and shit. I feel like it's the same way of trash. It's like, it's all trash, but some trash you're willing to accept more and all this and that, exactly. Or whatever. So
exactly. Some can be morphed into something else.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah.
But at the core of it, it is trash.
Yeah, yeah. It's still, you know, unusable shit. So, yeah, okay, well, good to know. So I want to hear about, and I, you know, when I ask this question, people are like, get bogged down by the pressure of thinking of the most. But like, you know, just like if someone's like, what are your top five that like alleviates the pressure? It's like, what is your, what, name a trash dick experience you've had, you know, in your life?
I mean, the one that really comes to mind is also kind of just an embarrassing story for me, but the way he handled it was trash, right? Mm-hmm. So, and as I said, I was a late bloomer. So when I went to an all-girls school in high school.
Aww. And
so my experience with boys, like, I always just was like, oh, they have cooties. We can't really talk to them. Like, it's weird to, like, boys at this age are supposed to be, like, studying and whatever.
I mean, you're not wrong. Little Andrea had it right. Little Andrea, she was onto something.
I knew the whole time.
Yeah.
And so, and my parents, my mom got pregnant with my oldest brother, my only brother, in high school. So she was always like, you need to go to school. You need to study.
Yeah.
You got to wait it out. You know, don't make the mistake that I made. So I always had that in my head. But I finally get to college, and I thought at all times a condom must be used. Like, anytime if the dick is out, there must be a condom, right? So I'm not ready to, you know, deliver.
He's right peeing. Now. You put a condom over his dick when he pees.
Yeah, at all times it has to be condom, right? And I look at that. So I was, in my first experience, I was like, had him in my room, had him on my bed, and I was like ready to give him a hand job of what I thought. And I go to put on the condom. He lets me put it on. He thinks in his mind we're about to have sex. Me, I'm just like, no, we're just about to give a handy right now. This is a hand job. And he's like, why are you putting your hand there? I'm like, I don't know why you want me to explain this, but I'm ready to just, you know, do a little handy. And I'm literally talking this out with him. And he is totally turned off. He rarely, like, refused to even look at me after that. For the entirety of college, his friend group called me condom hand girl. Or condom,
oh my God.
Hand job condom girl. And
that's,
I
so mean.
Ended up dating his friend group, one of his friends, senior year, and ended up losing my actual virginity to his friend. But the whole time of college experience, he called me hand job condom girl. And a lot of that word got out, and I eventually learned how to use a condom, but the way they handled it and they just used to call me names, it was just not an enjoyable experience.
That's so mean. That's so mean. But like, honestly, okay, two things. Like, that's so mean. He should have never told his friends, but also... hand jobs are the worst. They're the worst, and I don't blame him for being upset thinking that he's gonna get pussy, and you're like, no, I'm just gonna rub on your dick until you get tired.
And the sad thing was, yeah, exactly, there's not even, there was like also a letdown of no sex, but it was like, well,
he shouldn't have told his friends, and like he could have told his friends, because if honestly, the more I think about it, I'm like, I don't blame this guy, and he was in college, but also too, I'm like, they shouldn't have made fun of you for it to your face. They probably like, yeah, I have a million guys that I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we did this. But at the same time, yeah, condom for a hand job, that's a little rough. I gotta say, me and you are wearing, and like, I know the listeners are definitely gonna hear, but me and you are wearing the same necklace from FabFitFun. Use my coupon code. I'm kidding. Yes. Did you read the instructions with this necklace? It's like a gold chain necklace, but it's like, do not wear lotion with it. Don't fall asleep with it. It will turn green. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, damn, dog. And then this shit gets tangled so quickly. I'm just like, it's just like a choker by the end of the day. And it's supposed to be like a long dangly thing. But yeah, exactly. I know, because my homegirl, like, are you an influencer for FabFitFun?
For my other comedy podcast, yeah, we did it for like a season and then that was it. But then for a present, I keep getting the boxes. If you forget to cancel it, they keep sending it.
Oh, so shit.
I'm no longer an influencer for it. But yes, I used to be.
You know what? That's the move, because you don't have to post, but you still get them. Do you get money when you're an influencer? Because, I mean, and you don't have to say whatever, but like, oh, well, I know some people are just like, they post and then they don't... they post and they don't get any money, and then sometimes they'll give you they'll just get the product, and then sometimes they'll give you the product and money. So was that like one of those things, or
that's where you want to be? Yeah, exactly. So we would get the boxes, and then we, for the podcast spots that we would do, like we would say, you know, use our code, we would never get the money for the code we use, but we would get money for doing a commercial on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, that's where you want to be. But honestly, like,
but getting the box is still good.
Getting the box and not having to post about it is the best.
Exactly. Here's this. The annoying celebrities that have to post about it, I'm like, oh my God. If I see
Gina Rodriguez, I'm like, damn, Gina. Damn, it's like, you shouldn't have said the N-word on fucking Instagram. Then you would have to be posting FabFitFun shit.
Anything. Right, right.
Oh, man. Gina's rough.
I was just watching a movie with her on Netflix, and I was like, wow, I love her. And I forgot she was, that's Jane the Virgin, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I forgot she was on that movie, but then I...
Which one, Annihilation?
She's in Annihilation.
Yeah, she plays a Puerto Rican lesbian, which honestly, great casting. Which honestly, checks out.
Wait.
Which honestly, Michelle Rodriguez was busy.
Literally any role they have that's like a Hispanic or some type of like, yes, lesbian woman, it's got to be Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, Michelle Rodriguez was busy, so they called Gina.
They had to call Gina up. I forgot she was in Annihilation. And by the way, if you guys have not seen Annihilation while you're in the quarantine, you have to watch that movie.
No, bitch, are you crazy? That's crazy. I watched it on a plane and I couldn't even finish it. I'm like, hell nah. When I saw...
That's because you're in a closed space, but like Annihilation, it has nothing to do with like a quarantine. Well, actually, it kind of
does. It does. It actually exactly does. And we're not... First of all, we can't spoil anything that's been out for 2 years, so I don't want to hear it.
True.
I don't want to hear it to the two people that listen to this podcast. Do not DM me on Instagram saying, you spoiled Annihilation for me, because first of all, it's been out for 2 years. If I watched it on a plane, you missed your chance. But anyway, speaking of career stuff, that's later. But in terms of dating, so you're saying you're a late bloomer and stuff, which late bloomer does not mean inexperienced, which is what I remember. I was in a hotel room with some of my friends. I was like four of my friends from college, and we're all like in a hotel room, and I stood there and I'm like, wow, I've had sex with all of you, like with the same amount of guys as all of you combined in this room. And I had sex. I started out like y'all had 5 years ahead of me and all this shit. So.
And you still came out on top.
I still came out on top, figuratively, literally. All. So.
That's so true. Yeah. Being a late bloomer does not mean you're not getting ass. Like, it just means I wasn't as interested in it until way later in my life. Like, I had no interest in, like, finding out what a penis looked like until I was, like, 20.
And then you're like, oh. Oh, never mind.
Wait, this long for this?
It's like, you know, also, too, like, all these, like, tech guys, like, all these guys, and just not tech, like, just guys in general, like, their whole narrative and their whole fucking arc is that, like, oh, my God, when I was growing up, all these girls didn't want me, and now look at me, like, I didn't even have sex in high school, like, no one would look at me, and I'm just like, I don't know, I feel like not having sex in high school is, like, my biggest strength. Like, I'm so glad I missed all of this bad sex, and I waited till I was much later to have, much older, to have bad sex. There's enough time for bad sex.
I didn't have to be humiliated in high school about it, and it didn't get talked over all over school. Like, I was way more mature.
Yeah.
When I did it, and, like, it was still a letdown, but, like, way less of a letdown, right? I was like, okay, I can handle this mentally right now.
Yeah, I couldn't be able to handle some of the shit that, like...
Like,
having sex with a guy and having him, like, ghost me, if that happened to me in high school, that's it. Which that'd be a wrap. Pussy would be out of service. And now, now it is out of service. In the quarantine.
did you develop your type over time? Because I feel like I kind of always had a type as soon as I, like, started hooking up with guys. I mean, it definitely morphed with a couple of guys. You know, sometimes you wake up, you're like, I'm sorry, you do not fit the prototype and whatsoever. I was drunk. But
Yeah.
But did you have a type starting out?
I feel, damn, she switched gears on me. This is a fucking, this is what a fucking professional looks like. This is what a professional looks like. You take the question, you see where the thing's going, and you redirect it to add in more. This bitch is good. Hire her. I think for me, and I use this as a joke of, like, you know, dating for me has morphed as I've changed. And it's like, it's just like the metaphor I use in my stand-up is, like, it's like when you get out of college and you're so broke and you're like, man, I just want a job, any job. I just want any job and, like, whatever. And I feel like that's the same thing in high school and, like, earlier dating. Like, you're cute, I'm cute. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, you know what? I just want a job with, like, salary and benefits. And then you're like, yeah. And then you're like, oh, actually, like, I want a job with unlimited PTO. And then, like, this is the punchline. And I'm like, you know, actually, I just want a job that eats my pussy all the time. And then, like, it's like, oh, no job exists like that. Okay, thanks, Trump. But I think it's true. Like, there's just things that with jobs and with guys, and maybe that's the capitalist in me, like, you know, or, like, whatever, like, inherent capitalism shit, whatever. But it's just, like, thinking of men and dating in the same way. But it's, like, there are things that I thought were really important when I was younger. And as I've gotten older and I've experienced life more, I'm, like, that's not as important to me. This is more important to me. And as I'm seeing, like, even in talking to some friends, and we are going to pivot this back to you. But even in talking with some friends, you know, I talk to people I really care about. And they're like, yeah, you know, my husband or my boyfriend, he's like a libertarian, or like he doesn't do this or he doesn't do that. And like these are things that even now I'm like, hell no, I would never. But then she's like, he really, you know, we're in therapy together and we're going to this. And then he's showing me growth in other ways and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like, if they're show, you know, and then it's like, yeah, like all these like yes or no things like are important, but it's like as time goes on, like it's like what is really important? Like it doesn't matter that somebody's perfect when they meet you or that they're still able to grow and acknowledge and stuff. So that's like a long answer to the
what I got from that was that in the beginning, we kind of just wanted whatever was cute. But now we're having a little bit more requirements. We've gotten mature from our...
Different requirements, yeah, because not more of that. And then also, you see how she's professional in recapping what I just said. And she said it, she restated it in what I'm hearing for you. This is a fucking professional. Take notes, people.
I don't know if I'm I'm like a therapist. I have
no, you're a good radio, and you're a radio personality turned to podcast personality.
Yeah, I'm really just turning the whole script on you and asking you all the questions because I don't even know my type. So I'm like, maybe if I ask her, I'll figure out my type by the time she asks me.
Well, I had a physical type of Asian guys, like I only exclusively fucked Asian guys for a long time.
Okay.
I know. So that was like my whole thing. And then I just really had to unpack that. And it was like, it was like my thing of like, I view dating as risk aversion. You know, not like I'm going to really put myself out there. It's like, I don't want to get hurt, and I'm going to like move strategically to not get hurt. So I'm going to like these guys that I thought like I was, obviously that's how like All Dick Is Trash was born, is that there's no cheat code into being like, I'm going to not date comedians. I'm going to only date Asian guys. I'm not going to not date this and that. Like there's no cheat codes to this shit. Like,
right.
Oh, Dick Is Trash. No, but like, it's true. It's like, there's no way to like, that's not how you should be dating, is risk aversion, you know? Like it's not really true dating if you're not like able to get hurt. But yeah, it was definitely something, because honestly, the media portrayed Asian men as like, they didn't really portray Asian men. I've seen the like Black and Latino guys in my life, and I see like, oh, like my uncles and my cousins like cheating on everybody and people in school and stuff. And I didn't really grow up with Asian guys. And then the media doesn't show Asian men cheating on and all this stuff. They didn't when I was growing up. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go this way so that I don't get played. And then I got played.
And yet the world did not prepare us for what we experienced.
The world didn't prepare us. What about you? So first I want to hear about your type. So okay. Yeah, what about your type? What's going on with you?
So ever since I can remember, I liked... actually, I'll start at the beginning, and I went to all-girls school, and it was predominantly white, and mm-hmm. I'm half Mexican, and my mom is a quarter Dominican, and the rest is white, so I had a little bit of a mix, but to all of my friends, I was the Hispanic girl, and they all dated white guys, and mm-hmm. so I thought I liked white guys, but, and, you know, I still do, but it wasn't, you know, I thought that was just, like, all that was there, because that was,
yeah.
Like, cool, and they never liked me, because I wasn't blonde hair, straight hair, like super stick thin, you know what I mean? It was like,
that's crazy. So you're beautiful, and I'm sure you were beautiful then, but
oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't even know what back then. I wore a uniform. Like I just didn't even know what beauty, like what put makeup on. So I grew up with that mentality, and then I went to college, and my type has always been Italian. I just like the Italian, like Jersey Shore, which is surprising to everyone. I don't know why I like Pauly D, but I just love the like. Yo, my mom's gonna cook pasta tonight. We're gonna go over. We're gonna have a family dinner. Like, I love
not even Vinny, Pauly D. Vinny's on Tinder. I saw him. He did swipe left.
Vinny?
Tinder? Yeah, Vinny did swipe left on me, but Vinny, if you're listening, which I know you are, please date me. No, Vinny, I've seen him do improv. He did UCB, and he was on an improv team. And yeah.
Okay, see, I love that. I love, like, the funny Italians that are family-oriented, and they eat dinner, and they're mama's boys. Like, I just love that culture, and that's always been my type. And so, I also like guys that are funny. You have to at least have some sense of humor. We can't just be staring at each other the whole time. Like,
interesting. You know, I love a boring guy. Don't say anything.
Love a boring guy? What do you...
I love it. Shut the fuck up and just look at me and tell me how funny I am. For me, I just feel like... With some guys who have a bigger person, I have a huge personality, and then it's like showboating or it's a competition, and I never want it to be a competition, so, because I'm just always better than them.
So, my current boyfriend, I was working in a really, really small town in upstate New York, my first radio job out of college, and it was his hometown, and he was, at the time, marking tickets, and this is bad of me, but I was like, oh, he is a ticket guy, like...
Yeah.
What future could we possibly have together? But yeah. I thought he was cute, and I was horny, and I was in a small town. So I always make the first move now. I'm tired of waiting for
that. Yeah.
If a guy comes up to me, obviously I'm going to talk to him. But, like, I approached him, and I was also part-time working as a waitress. So he came into the restaurant, and I basically just forced myself on him. And I was like, oh, my God, I just moved here. Here's my number. Call me anytime you want. I'm free. I'm a waitress.
You didn't force yourself on him. He called you. That's consent, please. I don't need the He Too movement to come... And she asked her consent. It's okay.
I gave my number, and then he reciprocated and called me. So
yes.
But yeah, so he's a tall Italian kid that, you know, like is sporty, you know.
Okay, so you dated Joey Sasso from Rochester, New York.
Yes. Exactly. And we've been together for 3.5 years, and we've broken up in between and, like, had our troubles. But for the most part, he's, like, the first guy that I really was, like, willing to be in a relationship with. Everybody else, I kind of said we were together, but I was, like, a floozy, like, senior year of college. I was just pretty much doing the damn thing. I was like, this is the last year I'm going to have constant penis all around me with a 5-mile radius. We better get it in while we can.
And then you move to Brooklyn, and you're like, never mind.
And then I was like, wait, these people exist? Who are these? What is the style of Brooklyn right now? Like, what is it?
What do you mean? You sound like an old lady. And I feel like just from you talking, I don't know how old you are, but I feel like you're way younger than me.
I'm 25.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, I hate you. this interview is over. Thank you so much. No. Yeah, what do you mean? What's the style in Brooklyn? You sound like an old lady. So what's going on in Brooklyn? I mean, everyone's Polly? What's up with that?
No, I love everything. It's just such an interesting area. And you know, I recently just moved there.
You did.
And so it's been a whole, like, different.
It is a different vibe. And I'm sure from upstate and stuff. But yeah, that's like Brooklyn is like everyone's like hip and like, you know, this. Yeah. So that's just the Brooklyn style. And it's something that I've grown to appreciate of like, oh, who cares? You know, and that helps me too, because sometimes like, yeah, I mean, I'm like, my only flaw is that I'm 100% straight.
I'm like, wow, that closes off at least 75% of other people I could be dating.
I know, which is like, it sucks, but also too, I would get self-conscious about my size or something, that like I can't wear certain clothes, like I can't wear anything shapeless or not overly feminine because I'm not performing my femininity in a certain, and like when I see other people around me like just doing whatever they want, that frees me. And also, yeah. I do love dressing feminine, but then I don't feel weird if I like self-conscious if I'm wearing sweatpants and a baggy hoodie or something, because I feel like people like automatically assume that I'm I don't know. So
yeah, I got you. And let me say, I'll take that back. I love the Brooklyn style. I just
I've never cancel her. I'm kidding.
Hey, let me take back all the statements I made. I will say it's just a really cool culture. Like, I've just never seen that.
It's different, though, and it takes time to getting used to, especially coming from upstate, like, and even D.C. and stuff. D.C. was I hung out in Adams Morgan, and some of the outfits I saw there, I'm like, whoa, dude, I'm going to need you to not wear rainbows and cargo pants to a fucking club, my dog. And like, and a polo shirt, but this was fully 2014, 15. And I'm like, what are you doing? I remember I went in 2012, I went and I was dancing with this fine ass white guy who was like 6'1" and he was so fine. And, but he could not dance so bad. Like his dancing was so bad that like he was sweating. Like it was like distracting. I was getting nauseous, like trying to dance with him because it was like bad. And then we kissed, like, but it was like a pity kiss. He's like, I'm sorry. And then he just kissed me. And then like, I'm like, yeah, it's like, it ends here because he was just so bad at dancing. But
that's a problem. Another thing with white people. Well, not all white people, but the guy. That
well, all white people. I'm kidding. No.
He can't dance very well. So it's like, but he does so many other things that are great about
him. Oh, your boyfriend? Yeah. Okay. So if you're her boyfriend listening to this, you can't dance. She wants to dump. I'm kidding. But Andrea, I wanted to talk to you about red flags. What are some red flags in the past that you've ignored? You know, like maybe like white dreads or, you know, talks to his mom a certain way or, so, you know what I mean? Yes, things that you're like, I should have paid attention. That was a clue.
So I don't like jealous guys. And that was a big problem I had with a previous, I call him, he's an ex.
Yeah. We call everyone exes until they ask us.
Yeah, right? It's like, okay, yeah, 2 months, he was an ex.
Yeah.
We swipe right.
Yeah, he's an ex, yeah.
So he was very jealous from the start. And I think we were both in college and it just wasn't a good time for me. I definitely wasn't looking for exclusivity. But being too on me at first, and I'm guilty of this for, you know, if I really like somebody, I'm going to be like, hey, what are you up to? Like, you know, always texting them. But I feel like we just need to, like, let it chill for the first, like, 2 months, see where we stand. But I think that was a red flag. If anyone talks to me about being a flat earther,
Oh my God. Sad that that has to be on our list.
But that has to be. But
sad that's where we are as a society. But
and now with who's president, I don't know what's going on, but people be coming out of the woodworks with these conspiracies. And I'm like, if you tell me the world is flat, it's over.
Yo, it's like actually pretty disturbing to me to see like the amount of people spreading these false conspiracy theories. And I've heard some crazy ones and I used to think they're funny.
Yeah. Yes.
But then like the people that really, because I'm still on Facebook because I'm an idiot. And all the people that are like spreading this, they all have kids. And I'm like, how the fuck?
You're like, that's the new generation we're about to grow up with. Like, our kids are going to be looking up to their kids, and it's not looking good for us.
It's not looking good. Oh, man. So, anything else? You said jealousy.
Now that I mean, I'm going to end this podcast, and I'm going to be like, I have a bajillion.
I know. That always happens, but, you know, you can always come back. I see you trying to take my job as a podcast host, but I was going to say the jealousy thing, you know, yeah, like I had this one guy, like the guys are crazy because this one guy's like, I don't know if this is serious or not. I don't want to be exclusive, whatever. And then I'm like, fine, you live 5 minutes away from me. We can just fuck or whatever. And then next time he sees me, like a week later, he's like, so are you fucking anyone else? Are you blah, blah, blah? And I'm like... And I'm just laughing because he's like unraveling. I'm seeing him unravel. Like, are you seeing anyone else? Just tell me. You don't have to lie. Don't lie to me. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude. And he's like, you're laughing. That means you are. And then I'm like, he's like, I know how female comedians are. And I'm like, how are female comedians? And he's like, you guys have a line of guys after outside of every show. And I'm like, if you knew every time I it's like. So many guys, when I tell them I'm a comedian, they, like, block me. Like...
It is. I think female comedians do have a bad rap. Like, we are actually known as, like, we just sleep around with the whole comedy community. And
definitely not.
I think everybody's different, though. Like, I've known a lot of comedians that are females that, yes, that is their shtick. They do sleep around. But, like, I know a lot of female comedians that don't. I think it's both.
But if they sleep around because they're hot. They don't sleep around because they're comedians. They would have slept around whether they're a comedian or not. But... I'm not sleeping around because I'm a comedian. It's not like guys who like are fucking, they could be ugly and never shower and still have a line of girls because they're funny or whatever. Guys aren't lining up after shows trying to fuck you because you're funny. They're trying to fuck you because you're hot. And then, you know, they're playing games, not, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But he's like, oh, you're a comedian. I know how comedians are. Women have a line of guys and I'm just like, dog.
That would have pissed me off. I would have been like, what?
Yeah, no, he was the worst. but
like, no. What else? Yeah, I'm trying to think of like more red flags, but mostly just like jealousy. If you don't like my friends, if you have weird friends.
Oh, if you don't like your friends, that's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, we all have to like get along at least to some degree.
Yeah.
And
but I think there's something to be said about, like, let's keep some distance between the boyfriend and friends. Like, I get both instincts of, like, you want everyone to hang out, everyone who's important in your life to hang out all the time. But I definitely appreciate when things are a little bit compartmentalized and, like, you know, you can, like... Yeah, you have some separation because then it gets so awkward when you guys break up. And then, yeah, like, when they get back together, then it's awkward. And then it's just like, just keep me out of it. And then until you get married. And then you still might get divorced. So, like, please let's limit shit because I don't, you know. But, yeah. Anyway, Andrea. So, yes, you have a really impressive career. And the fact that I found out you're 25 has given me... so much imposter syndrome. I'm going to have to call my therapist. But something else, you know, and like, you don't have to, please share as much detail as makes you comfortable. You don't have to name names or name venues or anything. But what has been your most trash experience, like in comedy or like in entertainment professionally, of like things like with other people or maybe venues or companies? That you're just like, this is trash.
I had a really bad experience in radio that I wouldn't say radio and comedy are the same because they're definitely, you know, on their own spectrum. But I think
there's some similarities and overlap for sure.
Yeah, like there's a lot of like male dominated industry. I mean, they're both like a lot of, I just feel that it's very patriarchal, and especially with radio, the men, the hosts, there's always a male host. It's very hard to get a female host show for sure. And so I was working at back at Upstate New York, and I came back to DC for a little bit to work at a news station, and I got a call from an old internship that I had, and they were looking for a female host at nighttime. And even though it was a small station, I was like, this is my first opportunity as a female host of a nighttime show. Like, I could, even though it's a small, you know, I can make it into something bigger. And it was a huge opportunity. So I dropped everything in D.C. and I moved to the small town. And I had pretty much uprooted everything. My family gave me the okay. They're like, all right, you had an internship there. You're good. And I later found out that, you know, I get there and they give me a totally different position. And the person that I was going to replace was still there.
Oh, my God.
And I waited a month because I was like, what's happening here? You know, I wanted to see if they were going to let the person go. But they actually told me that they wanted me to let the person know that I was going to replace them.
No.
And I was like looking at everyone like, is this a joke? Because I would never do
that. And you're like young, too. You're like, what, 22 or 21?
This time I think it was like 23.
Okay.
And was very, very, as I said, very small, but very like small crew. So I think there was only like really 10 people that really did everything in the radio station. And so I couldn't believe that they looked to me to do that. And at first off, I was like, I'm not even going to have bad blood with anybody starting off. Like, and the person had been training me this whole time.
No, that's so fucked up, and that's not your job. That's terrible.
Exactly. So I looked at them, I was like, absolutely not, and if you expect me to do that, I am leaving. I don't even care about this fucking opportunity. I'm out. So they were like, I can't believe you would do this. This is the biggest opportunity of your life. And I was like, are you shitting me? But I'm not even, like, you haven't even given me an opportunity to be on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I picked up everything, and I went back. It was the biggest waste of my fucking time ever, and I am now so careful to go into opportunities.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, but, you know, and I still talk to them as we still have, like, an okay relationship, and they still, you know, they interviewed me when I went to Area 51, and it was just ridiculous. I couldn't believe that I even still talked to them, but I was like, whatever, it's an interview, I'll do it, but.
Oh, my gosh, that's so crazy, and they probably are like, that's so crazy that they wanted you to, what was their reasoning for one, like.
I just don't think they had a good, like, overarching person in charge. I think they were scared to do it themselves, and so they were like, oh, it'll be easy for this little 23-year-old who doesn't know any better to just go in there and be like, I'm replacing you. And it was just so poorly managed, I couldn't believe they were expecting me to do that. So, but yeah, the response was the person that actually worked there was then let go later on, but she was, you know, after I left, she stayed. But I just couldn't believe, I was like, this is trash, and you guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, well, you know,
and I never really told anyone in higher power about it. I just kind of like took myself and left, and I was just in disbelief that it could even happen. But I'm trying to think of my trash stand-up story, but I mean, I've gotten booed. I've had my, you know, my share of like, of getting kicked off, you know, not really kicked off stage, but you know, I had my bad nights, and I just had
everybody does. That's part of comedy.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, but I have focused more on Instagram. Even though I'm 25 and I've had some great successes, I still live paycheck to paycheck. I'm still waiting for the
of
big
course.
Job.
Of course, everyone,
you know,
is.
It is a rough world out here, so I don't want anyone thinking that, like, I have fucking made it. I'm, you know, I'm currently quarantining with my parents, so.
Yeah, no. The first time I saw you, you had your suitcase. And, like, right, you're right. Going between D.C. And it's just, like, that's what you gotta, do that, though, for a little bit. You gotta, like, you know, and I feel like that's the shit that people don't see.
Yes.
You know, and it's, like, part of it's, like, well, yeah, like, I hate when people, like, publicize every single thing that they're doing and every single L that they have. Right. But at the same time, it's, like.
It's good to know.
It's good to know, and, like. It's good for people to know that, like, yo, I'm fucking, like, hustling, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and, like, yeah, it's just, people want advice, or people want, like, a shortcut, and there's just no shortcuts. You just have to fucking grind, and, like, you're somebody that, like, you know, I see work hard, you're doing the radio thing, you're doing podcasting, you're doing, like, BuzzFeed work, you're doing, you know, your videos and live stuff. Yeah, so it's just like that. This is like all of it, you know, because you don't know that thing that's gonna push you. Yeah, exactly. That's and that was like super scary for me, like as an entertainer. Of like, I don't know what's going to stick. I don't know what's going to be the big thing that pushes me over. And even after all these years, it hasn't been one thing. It's been like the fact that I do this and that, and like this and that, and I've written this and, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it's crazy.
All comes together, but yeah, the grind is so real. And if people tell you otherwise, they're lying to you. Like, I can't even tell you how, before this quarantine, I was fucking exhausted. I was going back and forth and yeah, you just got to keep throwing stuff at the wall until it sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still doing that.
I know. Yeah. Oh man. All right. So, we're going to like wrap this up, and I'm going to wrap it up by doing the lightning round, which is something really fun that we like to do, where I go through a list of things and you say trash or not trash, or just trash or nah, right?
Trash or nah. Okay, I love it.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Amanda Bynes.
Nah, because she's too entertaining.
Yeah, she's too entertaining, and she's also mentally ill. Okay, we'll talk at the end about everything. Okay, so Amanda Bynes, not trash. Mykonos.
Not trash, nah.
Okay. Miliana Gaitis. I guess it's Teresa's daughter.
Melania TJ. Nah, she's not trash.
Oh my god. Fans asking for impressions in person?
Ooh, kind of trash.
Okay. Wiki feet, Wikipedia for celebrity feet.
Wow. You guys really did your research. Trash.
Baking?
Not trash.
Okay. So any thoughts about any of those things? What solicited certain responses? I don't know, Miliana.
Melania.
That's a weird way to spell Melania.
Is it it's Teresa Giudice's daughter, right?
Oh, is it Giudice?
Real Housewives of New Jersey?
Yes. You know what? Candy's a great producer. I just can't read. And you have strong feelings about Mykonos. I feel like you had strong feelings about all of them.
I do, because you guys are so good. Like, I've talked literally about all of these things. And let's see. Mykonos, we did a watch party for Lindsay Lohan's.
Yeah.
I just thought, I love trash TV, and I think it's trash in a good way. So that's why I said not trash. Even though the whole entire season was trash. Amanda Bynes, she's crazy, but she gave us entertainment. She gave us the Amanda show. So
yeah. She's, like, very mentally ill, too, so, like, you can't even be too.
She's going through a lot.
Yeah.
That's another, I don't know, her relationship right now is scary. She got engaged to some guy who is not right for her, but her family, hopefully she has her family backing her up.
Oh, really? Damn.
Yeah. I mean, she posts pictures about him all the time, and it's like, what? And then WikiFeet, I was on E! News, Pop of the Morning, and we talked about WikiFeet, and everybody had a WikiFeet page, but, you know, I haven't made it yet, so I don't have a WikiFeet page. But basically...
I know WikiFeet, yeah. But they have the shoe size and everything. That's crazy.
Shoe size, they have pictures of, like, all your pictures from your history of your feet. It's crazy, but...
I know, my WikiFeet. But, I knew people get turned on by shoes. I mean, by feet and shoes. But, like, the shoe size, I'm like, does that make a difference? But I guess it, like, for picturing, I don't know. My friend, I had a friend who dated a guy with a foot fetish. And she said it was awesome. She said it was awesome. She didn't ever have to, like, suck his dick or do any foreplay. All she did, he, like, rubbed your feet and then they can get going right away. Like, and it wasn't even like she didn't hate it at all. Like she actually like didn't mind. But one day she went through his phone and saw pictures of other women's feet, and she's like, "What the fuck is this?" That's how she found out. She found out he was cheating on her.
But it could have just been like feet from the internet, right?
No. It was a girl who like a text message. Talking. Yeah. And she's like, "What's this?" Like, it's not funny because it's like. So you're getting cheated on, but at the same time, right. It's funny to be like, what is this? And it's like a sneaker. You fucking piece of shit. And he's like, I'm sorry. It's not what it looks like. You know what it looks like. That's like my thing in my head. But it's like,
that's how I would imagine it, too.
And she was like telling us, she was like, you know, tearing up, telling us the story. Because you know, she really liked him and they were dating for a while. But yeah, the feet thing, you know, you can't be having other bitches' pictures. You know, that's still cheating, dog.
You really cannot.
And, yeah.
Melania, I used to think she was hilarious. In the first seasons, in like the early seasons of Jersey, she was like the most rambunctious little like troublemaker kid, and I found her hilarious. So I used to post about her and be like, everybody needs to have Melania mood today. So she's not trash because she's just like so many moods all in one.
But, you know, she's definitely a Republican. I don't know how old she is, but she's definitely a Republican.
You think? Teresa?
Teresa? Hell yeah. And her husband. She says all the time, like, she loves Donald Trump.
Teresa Giudice?
Yes, bitch.
What?
I don't know much about Housewives, but I know that. That's why I replaced the Gaydar. Gaydar is useless anymore.
Yeah.
It's useless. We don't even know. It's not even accurate. It's probably not even a thing.
Right.
But I do have a Trump-dar of who I who voted for Trump.
Yes.
And on the reunion with her husband, like video thing, because he's in Italy, got deported. They're like, you're not going to ask, huh?
No, I'm saying that's crazy that she is for Trump when her husband got deported.
Yeah, they're like, he's really busy right now and all this stuff. And I'm like, it sucked, but yeah, she sucks.
Okay, we may have to put that to the trash jar. Okay.
Well, sorry, yeah. Well, okay. Hey, you know what? This interview is all about me ruining things for you. Well, Andrea.
Thank you so much.
This is so fun.
What are your quarantine plans for the rest of the week?
Look at this bitch interviewing me. Yo, this girl is good. Hire her immediately.
I really do want to know about everyone's lives. So I'm like, what are you doing? Because I don't know what to do during my quarantine.
So I was having like, and if you're listening to this, like the real ADIT fans know I've been struggling with my neighbors for a bit. So my neighbors have been driving me crazy, and we have had a rivalry, and like, you know, they're like a gay couple, which, you know, and they like fight a lot. So I had like, yeah, so it's just like a rivalry back and forth. There's a lot of drama. I saw a mouse in my apartment. So I have a friend who like his parents fled to the Hamptons. So I'm staying at his apartment in Chelsea, their apartment in Chelsea, his family's apartment, which is really fucking dope ass apartment in Chelsea. But the dad's coming home like way earlier than we expected because the dad has to stop in for the city and like wants us gone by the time he comes back. So we have to leave tonight before the dad gets back.
Well, when he's back, when he leaves again, can you just come back?
That's the plan, but we'll see.
Because I got to tell you, like, that is the dopest like whole entire quarantine setup you got there.
Yo, honestly, it's been like, I don't even feel like I'm in quarantine right now. Like, it feels weird. I definitely, like, have parasited this friend. Like, literally, it's like some parasite shit of, like, I'm in this, like, rich kid's house. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And, like, he's out all day. And, like, he'll stand on the ledge of his building, like, outside of his window and smoke a cigarette. It's just, like,
it's rich kid shit that we don't, yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. He knows it. And I love him so much. And I'm sure he loves me. So he loves me and all this shit, but yeah, we got to clean. But I want to end on something positive.
Yes.
So we like to end things on a positive note. So I want to hear about one fond, happy memory that restored your faith in humanity.
Oh my God. Well, I have lost a lot of faith in humanity recently, but let me think. We might even have to cut out some silence here as I try to muster up some type of memory I have.
Damn, girl. I'll give you my therapist number.
I'm like, what is a good thing that happened?
Damn.
I mean, really, though, what? It's got to be something small that happened, like people paying for someone or
What? Damn, dog.
What does everyone else say? This is a hard question.
Well, Tiara was like, I really am impressed with all the people, all the nurses that are risking their lives for other people.
That's true.
Oh, poor Andrea.
Nah, I ain't got shit.
Nah, fuck the nurses. You know who you are. Jeez.
No, I mean, hey, I love the nurses. I'm trying to think of, there was one story, I mean, actually it was brought to tears by all the celebrities that have reached out and, like, donated a bunch of money. Oh, like, Rihanna just came
out
and donated, like, co-funded $4.2 million for domestic violence during coronavirus, so.
Cardi B, too, is doing a lot. Times like this, like, really expose people, and it exposed the good and the bad, but a lot of good too, and you're just seeing who's really about it and who's not and stuff. So
the
that's like
the bad and people that you wouldn't even think would come out and help, like people that are making, you know, they have like a sewing machine and they're like donating 10 hours of their day making masks.
Yeah.
Like, I can't sew, but if I could, like, I would love to be contributing in some way. I've just given a little, like, 2 pennies that I have to myself, to my name, and I've, you know, I've donated it, but, you know, the people that really are putting their effort in as a whole, I think is incredible.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And it's also cool to see that, like, New York did actually flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, it's scary, like, it might go up and, like, all this stuff, but, like, for the most part, it's, like, been, like, pretty stagnant, so that's really cool to see that, like, we are all sacrificing something, but it is making a difference.
No, definitely. Which, the numbers and the graphs were scaring me for, like, a week. I had to turn off the news for a while. I was, yeah, like, it's too much for me. But, you know, as we're starting to get more and more good news in, I'm watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, Andrea, this was so fun. And literally, when things get back to normal, I can't wait to book you on every show, and like, I'm gonna blast this out, and I'm so excited that you're in New York and in Brooklyn, and I'm so excited for your future.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, I love your Kourtney Kardashian impression. Who's your favorite Kardashian? Who do you think you are?
You know, I love me some Kris Jenner just because she's batshit crazy.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I'm a mix between Khloe and Kourtney, because I love how bitchy Kourtney is, and she just speaks her mind, but I also just love how funny Khloe is. If I could mix Khloe and Kourtney together, that's what I would be.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like I'm between Khloe and Kim.
Khloe and Kim?
Yeah.
Now, what is it you like about Kim? Because I wasn't like, well, she...
It's not like what I like, but what I see in her, like her, like, hard work ethic.
Yeah.
She has a, you know, you can say she don't work, and, you know, she's always trying to do something different, and you can tell, even as manicured and as, like, whatever it is, she does have a good heart, and she is trying to, like, she's constantly trying to use her platform for good, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not just with the, like, you know, Black people that, like, she helps get out of prison, but also, like, giving light to the Armenian genocide and, like, all this other stuff. It's, like, really cool to see that, like, oh, she really cares about stuff, and she also works hard for herself. And Khloe's, like, yeah, a little funny and all this stuff, too. So,
completely agree with
that. Yeah, but I see myself between both of them. And then also, you know, I have a big fat ass. No, I'm kidding. I don't. I don't. okay, well, it was so nice speaking with you.
Thank you so much.
All
over the place. I love your hair. I love your vibe. And yeah, you got to show me the good parts of Brooklyn, because, you know, I'm still walking around like a lost puppy around.
Girl, okay, listen, when everything gets back to normal and I fucked 8 people, then we're... I literally said, I'm going to save some money with my stimulus check and go to a male strip club. And if you want to go, you can come. I have one. I have my favorite dancer, Romeo. And
where do you know Romeo from?
Hunkomania in Times Square. Exactly. Exactly, bitch. I'm going to go. We're going to go out. We're going to show the fuck out. That's going to be like my first quarantine thing.
What better way to bring back the economy than by using your stimulus check at a male strip club?
Let me tell you something. When I was at a male strip club, I was talking to them. And I was like, y'all probably make so much money, blah, 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 because I'm seeing they're going crazy and all this, they're making money. I thought, yo, men are so dumb for blowing all their money in strip clubs. And then I'm like, yo, I ran out of money in an hour.
It goes fast.
Yeah, it goes fast. So, I was talking to one of them at the after party. I'm like, you guys probably make so much money. And then they're like, actually, like, this one guy in New York bought all the male strip clubs, closed them all except for one. And if you want to work in, like, if you want to be a stripper in New York and you're a guy, you either have to, like, do it independently, which is so hard, or you have to work through this one guy. Like, so he like, lowered all the wages, and he, like, fucks people. And I'm like, that's not fair. You guys need to unionize.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I know. So my friends took a, like, of course, we're at the strip club. We're all taking pictures of us with all the strippers. And then my friends, like, made a meme where, like, a stripper's, like, on top of me, like, gyrating. And I'm like, and like, the thought bubble says, y'all need to unionize.
Wait, right now?
I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you the fucking picture so that you can see. But I thought it was really funny. But it's true. We need to unionize our sex workers, man, and strippers, because it's not fair. People be taking advantage of them, and I don't want nobody to take advantage of my Romeo.
Let them know. All right, I'm going to support Romeo as soon as I hit my stimulus check.
Yeah, $1,200. No, I ain't gotten $1,200. All right. It's so nice to see you. You were great. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Harrell, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.